Keep alert. Stand firm. Demonstrate courage. Be strong. Amen. My dear Christian friends, George was woken up very early in the morning hearing a racket on the roof of his up north cottage. He went out into his backyard in his Batman pajamas, and he looked up on the roof and he saw a woodpecker pecking his little brains out on his metal antenna. Well, George was already upset because this bird had woken him up from a dead sleep so early in the morning. And so he found a good-sized rock and he threw it at the woodpecker. He missed the bird, but it went over the house and hit his car, breaking his windshield. Well, now George is really irate. And so he takes a vicious kick at a clod of dirt, remembering too late that he was in bare feet. And the woodpecker just kept on pecking at the metal pole. Well, St. Paul reminds us in our epistle lesson that we need to be properly dressed, that we need to wear the proper clothing and shoes if we're going into battle against a woodpecker, that we need to be alert and awake so that we don't cause more damage than the woodpecker is already causing. But St. Paul is not talking to us about proper clothing of going into battle against a woodpecker. He's saying that we need to be properly prepared to go into battle against the red dragon, the old evil foe, the devil. And the devil is not alone, but he is surrounded by his demonic hordes that are battling us every day. And they're not alone. We have unbelievers, heathens, atheists, and agnostics that are coming at us on all sides. The night is almost over, St. Paul writes, and the day is drawing near. So let us put away the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Exchange your pajamas of the evening for the armor of a midday fight. Paul writes, and do this since you understand the present time. It is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Friends, understand the present time that we are living in, that every day we are alive is one day closer to we die. Every day is one day closer until Jesus returns on Judgment Day. Yet we often go through our days as if we are half asleep. We just go through the motions. There is no urgency, no immediacy, no goal or purpose. School, work, meals, sports, carpooling, sleep, cleaning, errands, emails. All of these are important and necessary things, but though these are things that are going to certainly keep us busy, are we being busy about the really important things? These things consume so much of our time and energy, so much so that we are too exhausted to have any time and energy left for God, His church, His missions and ministry. We get so exhausted with what we need to do and accomplish each day that we are too exhausted to even think about what God might want us to do and accomplish each day. And we're so captured by our indifference that we don't realize how sinful we are. In our 8th grade catechism class, we've been talking about sins of commission and sins of omission. Paul gives us a list of sins of commission that we commit in the darkness when no one else is looking. Let us walk decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual sin and wild living, not in strife and jealousy. Paul's list is certainly not exhaustive, but this is rather a representative list. These are the sins of passion that we allow our sinful nature to do when it is in control. And though you might not be involved in sins of carousing and sexuality and wild living, think about the TV shows that you watch, or the music that you allow your teenagers to listen to, or the games and the online chats that you allow your children to be involved with. Are they healthy and moral? Or are they the world's way of cutting away at the fabric of your Christian moral family life? I had a friend talk to me about how he started watching Game of Thrones. Now that the whole show is over, he started watching it to find out what the fuss is all about and got the DVDs of season one from the library. And as he started watching them, he ended up watching them on his computer with his earbuds in because he did not want his children walking in and seeing or hearing the violence, sexuality, and language. And over time, he realized that if he had to go through all that to protect them from this show, maybe it wasn't so much a good show for him as well. Well, Paul isn't telling us what we should promote or boycott, but he is telling us that we should think about these things. If we don't want to do something around other people in the daylight, but we have to do it in the darkness and in privacy, that's probably something we shouldn't be doing at all. Sexual sins are sins of passion, but strife and jealousy that Paul mentions are of passion too. We've been talking about this in our anger management Bible classes, that passion for rage, envy, slander, gossip, striving and jealousy, we do that because it feels good. Our sinful nature wants to get back, to get even, to get justice. So if we think about sin at all, we usually only think about the sins of commission, the sins that we commit, the wrong things that we do, the sins of passion. But we're so sinful that we forget about the sins of omission. These are the sins of indifference and apathy. We just don't care. And because we don't care, we don't think about what God wants us to be doing that are righteous acts in his name. St. James puts it succinctly, for the one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, this is a sin. When God has given us enough money to care for our family and to save for the future, and we have money left over, but we don't even think about taking care of another family who's struggling, that's a sin of omission. When we have the opportunity to send a card or make a phone call or talk to a person face to face to give a word of comfort or encouragement, but we don't take that opportunity, that's a sin of indifference. When we know there are people around the world in the homes, in our neighborhoods, within our own families who are living without Jesus, but we don't talk to them about Jesus, we don't get involved with them with our offerings and prayers and efforts, well, that is a sin of apathy. Jesus reminds us, in fact, in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the very day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not realize what was coming until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man returns. Friends, we are no different than the people of Noah's day, that we just go through the motions. Commission, omission, passion, indifference. But the day is coming when we will die and meet Jesus. Or Jesus will return and we will be caught up in the air and there we will meet Jesus. That's why Paul says, wake up! There is urgency, there is immediacy. Exchange your pajamas of slumber for the spiritual armor of Christ. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to take a stand on the evil day. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace tied to your feet like sandals. At all times, hold up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I have friends who live in Southern California. They've told me about what it's like to have a huge earthquake at night. Everyone gets up out of their beds and runs outside into an open space away from buildings and trees that can fall on them. My friends have talked about the fashion parade that is out there in the evening. If you have people in their nightgowns and long t-shirts and their footed pajamas, But woe to the people who sleep in their underwear or less. Because when there is a 6.0 earthquake that is swaying the buildings, there is no time to go hunting for a bathrobe. Well, we don't have earthquakes where we're at. But the imagery is still the same. If you knew that an earthquake was coming, or a tornado, or a flood, or a fire, what would you do? You would be dressed and ready for it when it comes. We know that our Lord Jesus is coming. He has told us that repeatedly. The only thing we don't know is when he is coming. He will bring us into the glorious light, out of this world of darkness. He will destroy this world. Last time, it was with water. This time, it will be with fire. He will come to judge the living and the dead. The only question that he is going to ask people is if they are ready. And they will be able to answer that question if they are wearing the right clothing of readiness. Paul says, instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. Being clothed with the Lord Jesus means believing in him as your Savior, that you accept the righteousness of Christ as your own, that you put on Christ's holy acts that he has done over your sinful acts of commission. You put on Christ's holy acts that he has done to cover over your sinful acts of omission. You try to squeeze back into your white baptismal gown. When God the Father sees you, then he doesn't see you dressed in your normal, daily, dirty, shameful clothing. Instead, he sees you dressed in the white robe of Christ's righteousness. He no longer sees the wrong that you've done. He no longer sees the good that you have failed to do. He sees only the righteous clothing of his Son that you have put on by faith. And we're dressed for battle. But we're not dressed for battle so that we can sit around and do nothing. We put on the gospel armor so that we can go into battle. So friends, put on that helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Swing the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hold up the shield of faith to protect yourself from the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on the combat boots of gospel to go and rescue your injured allies. Share with them the message that Jesus is their Savior from their sins of commission and omission. Share with them that their Savior has covered them with his white robe of righteousness, so that way they are awake, dressed, and ready for Jesus' return. St. James again encourages us, be people who do what the Word says, not people who only hear it. A life of satisfied holy living is not an optional task for us as Christians. Rather, it is the mark that our faith is living and active, that we are Christ soldiers going into war, that we are doers of the Word, not hearers only. We are awake and dressed and ready for battle against the old dragon every single day. We are ready to stand against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of darkness. We are awake when everyone else around us is sleeping. So, fellow soldiers, rub the sleep out of your eyes. Get off of your comfortable couch. Get up from your not quite as comfortable pews. Get active in the Lord's church. Get active in the Lord's mission and ministry. Give up living a life of passion for yourself. Give up living a life of indifference toward those around you. Instead, get up and live a life of passion for the lost. Get up and live a life of making a difference in someone else's life. Exchange your pajamas for gospel armor. What better clothing can you be wearing for Christ's return? Amen.